little bit on the tefillah of Yoinah. Before we go to Perek Gimel and Sefer Yoinah, talk a little bit about Perek Beis and really how it relates to Yom Kippur. We brought down already several approaches why we read Sefer Yoinah on Yom Kippur. I'm going to give you another pshat. The whole first part of this perek, it's a short perek. Finally, Yoinah starts davening to the Ribbono Shel Olam. We spoke about how the Ribbono Shel Olam, first he was in a male fish, it was empty, he didn't daven. The Ribbono Shel Olam had him thrown in from the male fish to the female fish with a bunch of other little fish. And then things got tight. He starts davening. So he starts the perek by saying, Mitzora li el Hashem vayaneini mibetan shol shivati shamata koili. So he says, I'm davening from Betan Sha'oil. Now you know the word Sha'oil is used for Gehenna. And the Gemara actually says, one of the sugyas in Mesechta Sukkah brings down where the different openings of Gehenna are. So according to one Mandamar, Gehenna has an opening in the water. The Yam is a Pesach for Gehenna. And the Gemara actually says, the mocker that Gehenna has an opening in the Yam is this from the Pesach here in Yena. Because he says clearly, mi betin shol. So it sounds like he was in such a bad matzav Yena here. He was mamish in the Gehenna of the water. When the Malaysia flight, I'm sure the Olam heard of it, that got lost like 2 years ago, they still haven't found the, they found maybe a piece or something, they think maybe, but they haven't found the bulk of the aircraft, they haven't found Nebuch, the people that went down. They know it's in the Indian Ocean somewhere, which is looking for something in the Indian Ocean is like, you know, it's not like looking for a needle in a haystack, it's like looking for a needle in New York City. It's not even... So Lamaisa, it's Rachmanis. The relatives don't even have the bodies to have closure. You know, there's a beautiful vote from B'Shem of Eliashiv. The son-in-law brings it down from him. That he said that's the reason why the Ribbono Shel Olam spat out the Mitzrayim out of the Yam. Right? There was another miracle that happened by Kriyas Yamsuf. That all the Mitzrayim got spat out onto the So he said a beautiful vote. He said that, you know, after the Holocaust, a lot of people had nightmares. Holocaust survivors. Still, you know, having these visions of what they went through in the Holocaust. And the Nazis, Yimach Shemam. So, Rav Eliashiv said, the Ribbono Shel Olam made a nes that Klai Yisrael shouldn't have any trauma. Each Jew, the Medrash says that when Hashem spat out the Mitzrayim onto onto dry land, so each Jew was able to see that Nazi, that Egyptian that persecuted him and saw him dead. They got closure. The Ribbono Shel Olam did a nes just so we should have closure. But Lamaisa Yoinah here was in a terrible matzav. That we even we're bringing in a sprache, we're using language of Gehenna. But then he goes from that, he's like 8 psukim of tefillah, and then he says, "V'ani b'kol toido ezbachol Hashem, asher nadarti ashalema yishuasal Hashem." All of a sudden, he's talking about toida. He's talking about giving hoidah to the Ribbono Shel Olam. It's pella. Where does Hoidah come now? He's in a fish. He's in a fish in the Pischa Shel Gehenim. What's he talking about a Korban Toidah? Hoidah you only give when the Tzar is completely over. Right? When Baruch asked me a Shaila, when do you make a Hagoyim? It's a famous Shaila. If somebody has an illness, right? When do they make a Hagoyim? So there's a famous Halacha, Psak Halacha, that you don't make a Hagoyim when the Sakon is over. You make a Hagoyim when you're fully cured. and you're fully cured and you're back to yourself, then you make agreim. When I was Maitzim, but Lamaisa, you make up when you're fully, so it's not so clear when exactly. Some are so makbid that if somebody had a surgery, they wait for the wound, for the scar tissue over there to seal up. You know, they wait for mamish because that takes a little longer. Depends if they do laparoscopic. I don't know how they did. They laparoscopic. Okay, so now it's different. It used to be that was the big, that's what you had for weeks after surgery. You had the stitches. It was more painful than the surgery. Lamaisa, the haidah you only give when the thing is complete. And Reb Chaim Brisk said over from haidah, we say in the morning, haidah. At the end of haidah, we say, ani b'chazdecho b'tachti, yogel libi b'shuasecho, ashiru l'ashem ki gomal oloi. So the way Reb Chaim Brisk types it up, ani b'chazdecho b'tachti is before you have anything, you're in the tzara, b'tachti, you have to have bitochen. That's like when they're wheeling you into the emergency room. Right? Ani b'chazdecho b'tachti. Or they're wheeling you into the operating room. Then, yogel libi b'shuasecho. Once the Yeshua comes, they wheel you out of the operating room. Now you have to say a little more. Yogel libi, I have happiness, I rejoice. But a shira l'Hashem, ki gomal aloi. I only say shira after this, it's complete. Complete recovery. Complete Yeshua. So not, right now, Yain is holding l'chayra by ani b'chazdecho v'tachti. Right? Yain is holding way too early to start giving a korban toida. Hoidor you do when the Yeshua is completed. So what's he doing over here? V'ani, he's talking about Hoidor. Ani b'kol doida ezbocha ashanada. So obviously he's talking about the future. But what's he doing? You ever saw somebody davening for somebody who's in a tremendous tzara and they start talking about a korban toida? Hoidor comes later. What's Yain talking about that now? So I'll tell you a pshat, and this could be another explanation why we read Yoina in the most holy time on Yom Kippur by Mincha before Nila. We read Sefer Yoina. Another pshat that connects to this particular tefillah from Yoina. You could say the pshat is like this. There's a story I always like to tell the Olam by on Yom Kippur from the Stipler. It's a great story. I used to say it in shul every Nila. Then after I felt it, I said it enough times that it was in everybody's bones, then I stopped saying it. But I used to say it always for several years in a row. I said it every meal. I said this story. The Stipler had a maisa where there was a secular woman, old lady, that wrote over in her will, she wrote her apartment to a kollel in Bnei Brak, a kollel gemach in Bnei Brak. There was a kollel gemach in Bnei Brak. They used to give out money to poor people or lend money to poor people. So this woman had an apartment in wherever it was, Patach Tikva, Tel Aviv. She had an apartment. She wrote it over. Somehow they came to her to raise money from her. Secular woman, not even Shomer Shabbos. She wrote over her, and that was her only thing she had, her name. That was her main, what she owned, her main asset. She wrote it over to this kollel. Anyway, they were very happy, obviously. She eventually, her time came to leave this world. She died. So they came to collect their apartment. Anyway, the lady's family, her children, sued the kollel that they're not giving the apartment. Even though they had a written will. The will said black and white that they get the apartment. So their argument was that this woman, there's no logical way. I mean, we were doing that at Sugis above Basra. Baruch Shemai Elam, we just finished Yesh Neichlam last week, Thursday, right? We just finished Yesh Neichlam. Today was Tani Mishameis and Mitzvah Shem. So, a lot of times we say that if a person wrote something over, he couldn't have really meant it. If you remember by a Shchiv Meirah, those of you that learned it, if he writes away all his money and then he gets well, he could be Chayzer. Why? Because we say he didn't have in mind to give it away if he's going to live. Right? So the Yarshim came with a taina. They said, all these secular children of this woman, they said this woman never would give away her apartment. The only thing she owns of value, she's going to give it to some Bnei Brak organization. Makes no sense. She was older. She didn't know what she was doing. They must have pressured her. Whatever. Anyway, it turned out the case was accepted. And the judge, some guy, Iran, a real anti-religious judge, was going to make the decision. So anyway, the Kohel gave up. They figured there's no way they're gonna win this case. So the children realized that they have the upper hand here. So they went over and they basically asked them to give 10 cents on the dollar. You know what I mean? Basically, instead of, let's say, the apartment's worth $100,000, we'll give you $10,000 and take a walk. So normally in a case like that, where you hold you're going to lose, you take your $10,000 and you go. Why should I fight you in court and spend money and lose? I'll take the $10,000, put it in my pocket, and I'll go weiter. But since it was Nigeia to stalker money. So therefore, they felt they have to ask a shayla. So they went to the stipler, Zecher Tzadik Levracha, the Halakha stipler. The stipler was a Baruch HaKadosh. Stipler was like a malach. They went to the stipler and asked the stipler what to do. The stipler listened to the whole story. He says, fight! Yeah. Fight it! Continue fighting. And they thought they didn't hear him right. They asked it again. Fight! Okay. Stipler says to fight. We fight. Anyway, so they kept the lawyer and they went to court. The first session in court, the first session, the judge asking, these witnesses getting up, they're talking, and the judge, the secular judge who's anti-Frum, anti-Haredi, he looks across the room where the children of the lady who passed away were sitting, and he goes, you know, you guys should be ashamed of yourselves. After they presented their case, you should be ashamed of yourselves. Ha'ima shalachem, your mother, you're saying she didn't want to do it. She wanted a chelek in Olam Haba. Can you imagine a secular judge? She wanted to have something in Olam Haba. So she gave her apartment to Tzedakah. Tzedakah. Now you want to take away her Olam Haba. You should be ashamed of yourself. Anyway, once the judge made that statement, the children felt like their case is lost. So after that, obviously, the case was going to go on for a while. They sat down, and it got reversed. They gave them 75% settlement for the Kohel. Anyway, they came back to the stipler. Here's the stipler. How did you know? Okay, not such a kasha. The stipler is about Ruach HaKodesh. How did you know? So the stipler says, it wasn't Ruach HaKodesh, it wasn't some kind of nevius. He says, I had a simple way I knew. This particular Kohel, nobody was paid. It was a total voluntary organization where they give out money, lend out money to poor people. There's not a secretary that gets paid. Nobody gets paid. Every individual is a volunteer. So the stipler said, so let's think. So who's the court case against? The court case is against the Rabbeinu Shlomo. If there's people being paid, okay, so it's negeya. This guy's negeya, that guy's negeya. Everybody has their own ulterior motive. But if nobody's being paid, so who's the court case against? Who's the court case against? The Rabbeinu Shlomo. The Rabbeinu Shlomo doesn't lose court cases. The Rabbeinu Shlomo doesn't lose a court case. That's the stipend. So what is that? So I always tell people, Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, so you have to, when you ask the Rabbeinu Shlomo for something, you have to put the Rabbeinu Shlomo into your request. Don't just ask. You ask the Rabbeinu Shlomo for money. Ask the Rabbeinu Shlomo to give you money so you can give tzedakah, so you can help people you don't need help. You ask the Rabbeinu Shlomo for help, for health. So dedicate yourself to other people. That way you're not asking the Rabbeinu Shlomo for you, you're asking him for him. That's how I typed up in Shemoneh Esrei. Zochreinu l'chaim, melech hofetz b'chaim. What do we say at the end? Because when we say b'chaim, l'man cholikim chaim. What's the l'man cholikim chaim? What we're asking Hashem is give us life so we could use our life for things that you want. That way, you're not asking for yourself. You're asking for Rabbeinu Shlomo. If you're asking for the Ribbono Shel Olam, that's a whole different vort. That's a different vort. Yoina had many lives, my friends. Yoina is one of those people. He was the son of the Amona HaTzofotis. Yoina Hanavi, Yoina Ben Amitai, he was about that lady we learned about in Sefer Melachim, the Almona, who her son died. She came to Elyanovi, he should make Tchis HaMeisim. Elyanovi used to stay by them. So she came to Elyanovi with her son. The Pasuk says in Tanakh that her son, his neshama left. He died. She came to him and she said, do something. Elyanovi made a Tchis HaMeisim. So if you realize, Yoina ben Amitai has had many lives. Then he got thrown into the water. Then the whale swallowed him. Then it spat him into the other whale. The other fish with a bunch of other... This guy has been close to death many times. Not only close to death, according to most Rishonim, he died. There is a Shita Megubetzes above Metziah Kuf Yudalet. The Shita Megubetzes learns he never really died. The Shita Megubetzes wants to answer, how is Elyanovi allowed to do Tchis HaMeisim? Elyanovi was a Kohen. How is he allowed to touch the dead body? Or mile, put his body over the dead body, when he did Tchis HaMeisim, he's a Kohen. Tosis has the kash also. Tosis above Mitzvah has the kash. So the Shita Megubetzes wants to say that Yoina, when he died, he didn't really die. He was almost dead. He was limp. He looked like he was dead. He wasn't really dead. Tosis actually gives a terror, different terrors. Tosis says, Elyanovi knew for sure that he could make Tchis HaMeisim. So as Pikuach Nefesh, she was able to do it. I was many years ago by Rav Yashiv, Zecher Tzadik Levracha. He was giving shir on this sugi in Bava Metziah. So he asked the Kash on Tosis, why did Elyanovi have to know that he's going to do Tchis HaMeisim? So that Pikuach Nefesh is also Deiche Kolat Erkul. Tosis says, Elyanovi knew for sure he can make Tchis HaMeisim. So therefore he was able to do it. What do you mean? Something Pikuach Nefesh should be enough. That's Tosis Kash. That's Rav Yashiv's Kash. Rav Yashiv said a great teretz. He said, the reason why Sofik Pikuach Nefesh is Deiche is because a person has a Cheskes Chai. Every person has a Chazoka, they're alive. So even if you have a Sofik, you can keep them alive, it's enough. But once you're dead, you have a Cheskes Meis. So then he's dead. So now you have to know for sure you can make him alive in order for it to be Deiche. That's Rav Yashiv's Pshat. There's other ways to learn Tosis, but anyway, that's what's Rav Yashiv's Pshat. So why am I telling this? Yoina ben Amitai, obviously his mission in life was to bring Hador to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to get people to recognize Hashem. It could be that that's why he experienced the Tchis HaMeisim, because Tchis HaMeisim is Gevuras Hashem, it's the greatest thing Hashem does. So he brought that out to people. He was able to bring out the biggest godless of the Ribbono Shel Olam by experiencing Tchis HaMeisim. Could be that's why he was even able to get the people in Ninveh to be shov. So Rabbi Yisrael, I want to tell you the pshat is like this. Yoina ben Amitai, when he davened Bimei Adoga, he was already talking about the praise that he's going to give the Ribbono Shel Olam after, because now he has the schus that the Ribbono Shel Olam should keep him alive because of what he's going to do afterwards. He was davening for the Ribbono Shel Olam. When he said, Vani b'kol toida, what he was basically saying is, Hashem, keep me alive so I'll be able to praise you. By doing that, he's not just davening for Yoina, he's davening for Ribbono Shel Olam. Saying, Ribbono Shel Olam, keep me alive and I'll be able to praise you. Vani b'kol toida. If that's the way you daven, it's a whole different davening. So I want to say, that's why we daven like that on Yom Kippur. We say the after of Yoina, so that we can also, in our tefillah, and this is important in life. Whenever you daven to Hashem, try to stick into the tefillah that there's something for Hashem in it, not just for you. You're davening that you should have chokhma, you should be able to teach others. So your tefillah is not selfish. Because a selfish tefillah is much harder to get answered. If your tefillah is that you should be able to use that, whatever you're asking for, you should be able to use it for Ribbono Shel Olam, then it's noyach l'kabbalah.